Cleaning up streams has been an ongoing process for decades now. The cleanup process starts with the obvious things and works down from there. So you go after the major sources of pollution and degradation first. After that, it can get a bit tricky because you're going after diverse and relatively small sources. The Oregon Environmental Council has a tool for approaching stream restoration called Pesticide Stewardship Partnerships. Allison Hensey is with the Oregon Environmental Council. She is the Sustainable Food and Farms Program Director and our guest on The Exchange. Allison, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Forgive people if they lose track of groups with environment in the name. Would you tell us a bit about the Oregon Environmental Council and what you do?
Sure. So we were founded in 1968, and we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan membership organization. And we work to protect the health of every Oregonian and the place we call home by working for clean air and water, a healthy climate, an unpolluted landscape, and sustainable food and farms. And we really work on two levels. We work with individuals and businesses to help them adopt a more sustainable approach to living. And then we also work with elected officials to create practical policy to protect our health and the environment.
And 1968 would place you among some of the earliest environmental groups, wouldn't it?
We were one of the first statewide environmental groups in Oregon.
And so at it for a long time, obviously. Is it always sort of like three steps forward, two steps back, or are there fewer steps back than there used to be?
That's funny. We actually just met with somebody who's been working on environmental issues for a very long time at the national level, who just wrote a book about Oregon's environmental movement. And he was talking with us about some of the early battles for land use planning and the bottle bill and, you know, protecting beach access for everybody. You know, things that Oregonians really hold dear, that OEC was actually involved in. And I think we all take those things for granted now. They're a part of our identity and our state. But in recounting some of the early battles to pass those laws, we realized that they took a very long time and that there were defeats before there were victories. So it was a good reminder that it always takes time to make the kind of change that's important.
That is an interesting perspective to look back and say, well, they're in place now, but they weren't always. I mean,
they've always
been in place for younger people, but not for the older folks. Give us the background, if you would, Allison, on Oregon Rivers that led to the creation of the Pesticide Stewardship Partnership Program.
Well, you know, Oregon is a great place for innovation. And so in the late 90s, in the Hood River Valley, some routine monitoring by our Department of Environmental Quality found pesticides at levels of concern in the water, both that would have affected, you know, fish survival and human health. And through a several-year conversation that happened there between the state agency, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the local orchardist community, they developed a new approach to reducing pesticides in water called a Pesticide Stewardship Partnership, which really hadn't been done before. It was based on, you know, continual monitoring in the water to share with the community what was being found in terms of pesticides. And then the orchardists work with the local Oregon State University Extension Office and their local Soil and Water Conservation District to develop a best practices manual so that everybody could work to reduce pesticides that were ending up in the water through really simple steps and more complicated steps. A simple step would include, you know, if you're spraying pesticides, when you get a couple rows away from the stream, turn around and spray the other direction. You know, make sure that your pesticide nozzles are calibrated and aren't leaking. You know, don't wash out your container near the stream. Things like that. And then really more complicated approaches, Oregon State University worked with the orchardists to do research on pheromone disruption strategies for the coddling moth. Really, basically, it is that you interrupt the ability for the coddling moth to smell their mate and to mate. And so they, over the course of about a five-year research project, we're able to dramatically reduce the pressure from coddling moth on the orchard industry and therefore reduce dramatically the need for pesticides. And so the model was really developed there, and we weren't involved. This was, you know, farmers on the ground working with state agencies to come up with practical solutions that worked for them and the environment, which is the kind of solution we like to see. But this kind of project was being done on a shoestring and just through grants, and Department of Environmental Quality helped spread it to several other areas where it also showed dramatic success. In the first three projects, in the Hood River Valley, in the Dalles, and in Milton Freewater, pesticides were reduced by over 90% within the course of several years. That's a pretty great result.
90% was that figure?
90%.
Wow.
Yeah. This is something that was shown to work in a world where that's pretty rare. But there wasn't funding for it. And so basically those projects were going to have to end. And so we talked with a number of folks who were involved in those projects and realized, you know, we have a problem statewide with pesticides in water. We need more monitoring. We need more collaborative, locally-based solutions to this problem. And so we worked with all of those partners and additional folks from the conservation community, from municipalities, the Farm Bureau, to develop a new program package in the last legislative session and helped pass a bill that created a new pesticide stewardship program for Oregon and had funding for it so that it could both continue the existing projects that were working and expand them to other parts of the state. And so now that new program is passed, it will be available in Southern Oregon, which is great news.
Up until now, just generally in the Columbia Gorge area?
It had been in the Columbia Gorge area, and then there are pilot projects in about four of them in the Willamette Valley as well. But those are newer and hadn't had as much time to show success yet.
Allison Hensey, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with the OEC, the Oregon Environmental Council. We're talking about pesticide stewardship partnerships. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Just out of curiosity, I've got to go back to the coddling moth. You make it so they can't smell their mates. Is this a hormonal solution or something?
It's a pheromone disruption.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's a scent that makes it so that they can't smell their mate and find them, basically. Kind of cruel, I know, but it does help reduce pesticide use.
Interrupting the coddling moth love cycle. Okay.
Well,
so we just talked about where the primary programs had gone on. Where are the foci, the focuses of the program now? Where would you really like to see new partnerships emerge?
Well, so we're lucky here in Oregon. We actually have an innovative interagency team of folks who are experts on this topic, who are helping decide where to put the new resources for this kind of program. And so they're going to be doing, and they're from all of the agencies who have a piece of this puzzle. So Oregon Health Authority, Department of Environmental Quality, Oregon Department of Agriculture and Forestry, you know, a lot of different agencies have a piece of this issue. And so they've gotten together, and based on really pretty limited monitoring so far in other parts of the state, one of our problems is that we don't know what we don't know. We don't have the monitoring to show us where the problems are in other parts of the state. So they're going to be doing some monitoring in a number of different places around the state over the next year to determine then where to focus the new resources. And so they'll be looking in the Umpqua Basin, the Rogue Basin, the South Coast, Central Oregon, Eastern Oregon, for the first time, really.
And how will you be getting input? Because I'm certain that in most of the areas you named, if not all of them, there are some environmental groups that are probably tracking pesticide use and are listing ways in which they would like to see it used less.
Absolutely. Well, that's the beauty of this model, is that it's very collaborative. So really, it's anybody who's working on this issue in a community and wants to work on it in a collaborative way can join the partnership, and they're stronger because of that. So often there's the local watershed councils involved, sometimes the county is involved, and the city, the Soil and Water Conservation District, Oregon State University Extension, and then, you know, local industry groups. So, you know, it was the orchardists who started this in the Hood River Valley. I'm sure that'll be true in Southern Oregon as well. It's really bringing together the landowners who have a stake in this, whether it's because they want to protect drinking water or because they're using pesticides to protect their crops, and they want to do it more efficiently and successfully, but in a way that protects water resources.
We haven't used the term yet, but we are talking about non-point source pollution. Is that the fair term?
We are. Yeah, this is a tough problem. You know, this doesn't come out of a pipe into the river. It's not easy to find the source of the problem. And all of us are responsible across the landscape, whether you're using pesticides in your yard or whether it's a railroad, you know, taking care of the right-of-way so that the train can pass, or whether it's somebody growing our food or growing, you know, the wood that's going to build a house. We all have a piece of the puzzle. And so that's why it's important to have a collaborative approach, because you can't. It's really difficult to regulate this. So instead, you need to engage people in solutions that reduce pesticide runoff, but also work for them, that they can actually adopt in a way that works in their life, or it probably won't happen.
I'm still stuck on that 90% figure, though. That's a huge reduction in pesticide use.
It is. It's really dramatic. It shows that it can work. And that's, you know, the first place that it started in the Hood River Valley. There's a pretty heterogeneous land use. It was in the orchardist community. And so the Columbia Gorge fruit growers were able to work with their members to really get the word out about solutions that folks should try and adopt. In a lot of other places, it's a more complex set of land uses and people who are managing the land. And so it takes more time to engage with each different group of land managers to try and work with them to find, you know, strategies that reduce runoff and then find ways that incent them to adopt those strategies.
And in the situation you're talking about where there was a 90% reduction in pesticide use, was there any particular change in agricultural yields?
No.
Really?
No. No, these are solutions. You know, a farmer is not going to make changes that harm their bottom line or their crop. You know, they have to make a living. And so the really important part of these partnerships is having the right expertise, often through Oregon State University, to help develop strategies that support a really high-quality crop and reduce runoff. And those do exist. We know they exist. But it requires somebody with expertise in that industry and in, you know, pest and weed and disease control to work with that pesticide user community to develop solutions that really work for them and their farm operation. In that case, it's not always going to be a farm, but that's where it started.
Allison Hensey, you mentioned the legislature passing a law that will put some more money into this program. How much bigger can the pesticide stewardship partnerships be with this legislation than they have been?
So they had been just funded by grants, and so there was no stable budget, and really that funding source, it was a funding source through the Federal Environmental Protection Agency with federal budget cuts, that was going away, and it had never been stable anyway. So now, for the first time, we have a $1.5 million a biennium budget for this program that's stable and ongoing. And so that means that they can probably do about 11 or 12 pesticide stewardship partnerships at a time around the state. And then as you find success in one area, you'll be able to taper off there and move those resources to a new area.
And so how is the money spent? I mean, what specifically does it purchase?
So it purchases three main things. One, and the biggest part of the budget, about $850,000 a biennium, is simply monitoring by Department of Environmental Quality in rivers to see whether there are pesticides of concern so that we know what strategies will help reduce those. And if there isn't a problem, then that's great, then you know that. And if there are problems, then you can work to reduce them. So that's the biggest part of the budget. And then two smaller parts of the budget are funding for local communities to do pesticide collection events. So about 4 or 5 a year. And that's where you have a roundup and you tell folks, hey, bring in your old degrading pesticide containers of DDT that's sitting out in your shed that you're never going to use again, but, you know, that container's not as stable as it used to be. So let's get that cleaned up before it leaks into the groundwater or into the river. And so there hadn't been a stable budget for that as well, and now there is for the first time. And then the third part is for technical assistance, which is a really critical piece. You know, as I described the research around reducing coddling moth pressure on orchardists, that was really critical to reducing the pesticides by over 90% in the water. And so you need that technical expertise to work with the user community, whoever they are, to develop strategies that actually work for them so they'll adopt them.
We're talking about pesticide stewardship partnerships on the Jefferson Exchange. They are partnerships to attempt to keep pesticides out of streams across the state of Oregon. And as you just heard, there is some money from the legislature available for this for the first time in this biennium. Allison Hensey is with us. She's with the Oregon Environmental Council, the OEC. She's the Sustainable Food and Farms Program Director. And you can join us on the exchange with your questions about pesticides and streams. 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6760. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. You said DDT. Really? Is that an actual case? People have still got stored DDT just from years ago in their barns and sheds?
Oh, absolutely. It's astonishing, actually. In the communities that have been able to get the resources to do pesticide roundups, they are finding people bringing in 30, 35,000 pounds of pesticides, you know, collectively at a time, and the demand does not seem to be slacking off. And if you think about it, you know, there's some pretty nasty chemicals that are now banned that people can't use anymore, but that there wasn't really an easy way to dispose of them. You know, it takes the right facility and the right expertise to do it safely. And so, you know, these roundups provide that ability for people to bring in those nasty chemicals. And they're not being used. They're just waste. So it's an easy way to really reduce risk of those running off into the water. And I might mention, too, that, you know, pesticide stewardship partnerships start by focusing on protecting rivers. And I think they'll look at protecting groundwater in the future, too. But that's not the only benefit. By working with pesticide users to prevent runoff and use pesticides more efficiently, they're also helping prevent drift that can affect neighbors and local communities, as well as pollinators and other wildlife. So they really have a lot of benefits.
So what is the biggest pesticide issue then? Is there one pesticide above all others that is of major concern?
There's a list that the Interagency Team for Pesticide Management has developed of the pesticides of most concern. And I think there are about seven of them right now that are sort of red level, that are of the highest concern. And that's either because they're being found at levels above Clean Water Act standards, which means that they either are unsafe for humans or for aquatic life. And so those are really the focus for a lot of the pesticide stewardship partnerships. But different pesticides are used in different areas, and so you really also have to talk with folks in that area about what's being used on local roads for weed control, on local crops, in people's yards, and then monitor for those and see what you're finding. But there are a lot of lists that have been developed both nationally and at the state level, and so we do have a sense of which pesticides are most toxic to humans and aquatic life, and you can cross-reference with those lists and determine what to really focus on in any community.
What is the general state of rivers in Oregon, if you could characterize that? Because we got a communication that came from Tyler Guthrie at the OEC who says that every major river in Oregon is polluted and doesn't meet the Clean Water Act. Is that fair? Is that true?
That's true. Every major river in Oregon violates Clean Water Act standards for something. Yeah, we have a lot of work to do.
Is it often pesticides, the something that they violate?
Sometimes it's legacy pesticides, which are the ones that have been banned, but this may shock you. We're not actually even monitoring for current use pesticides in most rivers.
Really?
We don't even know what's there in terms of current use pesticides. That's one thing this budget package will let us do, is to start to do that monitoring and to see whether there are problems or not. Most of the problems with rivers violating Clean Water Act standards have to do with either temperature, so the water's too hot for aquatic life, or there are things like, you know, pollutants like mercury or arsenic, nutrients. So they're either pollutants that affect human health or aquatic life.
So we're essentially still cleaning up from the practices of decades past.
We are. We're still learning about what works to protect our rivers.
Let us take a call. Allison Hensey is our guest. Pam and Dexter is also on the line now. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Well, I'm curious if you're working on the aerial herbicide spraying that takes place on the private forest lands, because that's been an issue, especially there's been a lot of attention for the Triangle Lake area because they've suffered illnesses, and there's been a lot of studies, and Beyond Toxics recently released more information about that, and it just seems like they're allowed to just spray overhead, and it drifts onto people's organic farms and into children's playgrounds, and the wildlife get it, and I just wonder if you guys are working on that, and I'll listen on the radio.
All right, thanks, Pam.
Thanks, Pam. So these pesticide stewardship partnerships and this funding will enable there to be technical assistance that can help reduce drift. To date, pesticide stewardship partnerships have not worked in forest areas. They've really focused on agricultural areas. But now that there is a new program and with a robust budget, they will start doing monitoring in forested areas. And if they find problems in the water, they'll be able to provide technical assistance to help, you know, forest managers reduce drift. And so I think that's exciting to have those new resources. OEC hasn't been working on drift in the Triangle Lakes area, but I know our sister organization, Beyond Toxics, has been doing work in that area.
Quickly, before we go, Allison, how would somebody initiate a pesticide stewardship partnership? Who should they contact first?
They should contact Kevin Masterson at the Department of Environmental Quality. And you can find him just through a Google search.
All right, Kevin Masterson.
He's the one who will talk with local partners that would like to see a pesticide stewardship partnership in their area and determine whether they're able to direct resources there.
All right, partnerships that bear results in reducing pesticide use and pesticides showing up in rivers. The Oregon Environmental Council is a major player here. Allison Hensey is the Sustainable Food and Farms Program Director at OEC. Allison, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. That'll do it for this hour of The Exchange. More coming up.